half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Jeff Call. It was presented in January of 2006. The title of the message, Portrait of Courage.
In Daniel chapter 1, we have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have the story that perhaps you read as a Sunday school, in a Sunday school lesson, but it's a lesson that we all need throughout our lives. There are a number of things that we notice here about these individuals. The first thing that I would like you to note is they were captured strangers. They were captured strangers in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. Man, these folks found themselves in a difficult situation. The first thing I would like to see about this area of being a captured stranger is a description of their captors. Nebuchadnezzar was a ruler of Babylon and considered by historians as a vigorous and brilliant commander and the greatest man of his time in the non-Jewish world. Time magazine perhaps would have him on the cover of their magazine every single week. He ruled a great empire. He had vast resources. He had a magnificent army. But he was firmly secular, and certainly he was involved with idolatry. He was a great architect. He was a soldier. He was a statesman, and yet he was an evil ruler. One author said he was an egomaniac. He was a ruthless dictator. He was filled with arrogance and rage. In 605 BC, the king overthrows Jerusalem. According to prophecy, he commands his army to bring back the strong, the good-looking, the healthy, and the intelligent young men from royal families. They were already trained in all things, you know, religious. They were trained in those things that would make them great diplomats. These were great individuals. Nebuchadnezzar had some work to do in their lives. He wanted to take these individuals and train them in his culture. That's a little description of their captors. Here's a description of their character. These boys were taken at 14, 16 years old. Many people believe they're at least maybe as young as 14, no older than 16. They were involved in a situation where they were captured. Perhaps many of their family were killed. And yet you see them prospering. Just because a difficult thing happens to a 14, 15, or 16-year-old doesn't mean that your life is ended. You can still live. You can still do right. They were known for their character. That's why they were taken. They were captured. They became slaves. These boys were studying for the worship of Jehovah God in Jerusalem when they were captured. They were already committed. The way the phrases are written here in the scripture, they were already committed. There was no doubt about their commitment to Jehovah. And now they found themselves in a dark, foreign, adverse place. A place that did not revere God, nor His principles. The first order of business was to change their names. They were given new names. The Babylonians wanted these Jewish young men to forget their God, and so they changed their name. But the name change could not make them forget the true, loving, and holy God. Circumstances should not change our love for Him. You can change our name, but you can't change your heart. They knew God. You could change their name. You can change their location. You can put a crisis in front of them, but you can't forget God. In the midst of tyranny and injustice in a foreign land, they became examples for all immigrants and all sojourners. This is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We're just pilgrims here. They were captured strangers. But we also find that they were committed subjects. Here they find themselves in a difficult place, in a foreign land where they didn't worship Jehovah God, but you find as a testimony they were committed subjects in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. In chapter 3 and verse 12, we go on to read another testimony. In verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had a testimony. They rose to a level in the kingdom. They had a reputation, and the king, the evil king, promoted them. They were committed subjects. We see their studies. 3 years made them wiser and more physically and mentally able to serve. This should serve as a reminder of how important discipline is. As 14, 15, and 16-year-olds, God prepared young people to serve an evil king. They were prepared. Their lives were characterized by discipline and duty. You know, I worked on a college campus. I was a college student myself. It's not that uncommon to find individuals who are not committed to the cause. It's not that unusual to find folks who are just gliding through life. They're indifferent to the disciplines that they need to capture in order to be a testimony in their culture. And yet most people just want a relaxed feel. They just want not many difficulties. They want a life of comfort. These individuals should stand as an example of what a disciplined young person, a disciplined person can have as far as influence in their evil culture. You see their studies, but you also see their service. They were promoted quickly when their abilities were clearly superior. When God is your teacher, you'll always surpass the thinking of evil people in secular culture. But God has to be your teacher. You have to be in the Word. You have to study what He says. You have to know what He wants. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, He said. Your ways are not my ways. And so you stay in the Word and you make His ways your ways. You become clearly superior. You have answers in this life. Most people don't have answers. Most people don't live by compass. The wind just directs them wherever they go. The Bible gives a compass. It tells you where you ought to go. He makes you secure. They served in a wicked culture, yet without compromise. This lesson should be driven home to each of us who must serve in a secular, God-removed job. You can serve without compromise. These godly men now have to decide how they will adjust to living in an environment unsympathetic to their religious convictions. Like everyone caught in cross-cultural change, they had to think through the principles involved in their actions and duties, but they didn't conform to the world. They were committed subjects. Our lesson is that in adverse or unideal work environments, these Hebrew young people serve as an example of creativity, duty, resolve, and commitment. You can serve in our culture. You can have a great testimony. But then we find they were condemned servants. They were condemned servants. In Daniel chapter 3, in verse 12, they were condemned servants. Here they're working, they're serving, they're committed, they're known for their superior work ethics and for their superior minds. And then we find them condemned. How did that happen? How did that happen? In verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the kingdom, over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They haven't respected you. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. In verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. I think another way you could say it, he was very, very upset. And the form of his visage, his countenance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was. Wow. He was upset. He was mad. In Isaiah chapter 1, you don't have to turn there now, but if you're writing notes in the side margin, there's a great outline. When evil people rule, when people who aren't governed by the principles of God's word, there are 4 distinct things that happen in a culture. When evil people rule, when evil laws are allowed to be left on the books, idolatry is practiced. In Isaiah 1, verse 2, idolatry is practiced. Innocent people suffer. In Isaiah 1, verse 9, innocent people suffer. Preacher said earlier today that 40 million babies have been killed. That's a lot. Innocent people suffer when evil people rule. Iniquities abound. Iniquities abound. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Many sins are allowed to just prosper because righteousness is not at the head. And then number 4, infirmities plague a society. Infirmities plague society. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. You can study it on your own. But when evil people rule, righteousness is tested. They were condemned servants. What do we see here? First of all, we see the celebration to an ungodly king. The celebration to an ungodly king. The king commands a 90-foot gold statue of himself to be erected. At today's calculations, it would be about $2 billion. He wanted it to be made so he could be worshipped. He does this for 2 primary reasons. Number 1, he wanted to elevate himself. One of the reasons we have cultures full of wickedness is you have people who are trying to elevate themselves. They want to have power and dominion over those subjects that are supposed to serve them. He wanted to be the whole statue. In Daniel, it said he was just part of the statue. He wanted to be the entire statue, and so he wanted people to worship him. He also wanted to achieve a common religion. This is the 2nd of 3 great attempts of man to institute a one world religion. The first one was found in Genesis chapter 11. The last one takes part in Jerusalem during the tribulation, Revelation chapter 13. This is the 2nd great attempt. He wanted to bring all religions together. So what happened? The king requires every VIP in the empire, and it was large, to assemble on a scheduled day. At the sound of the music, all those assembled were commanded to fall down and worship this statue. Fairly simple, not complex. Failure to comply would result in instant death. Nebuchadnezzar was known as a man of rage. He was a dictator. He was ruthless. Many people probably were killed in his reign. The Romans, they executed criminals by crucifixion. We know that all too well just by examining the life of Christ. The Jews executed criminals by stoning. We see that throughout the pages of Scripture. The Babylonians, they executed criminals by burning. No doubt the entire crowd of thousands could see this furnace and watch its fierce yellow and orange flames reach high into the Babylonian sky. One author said this, "This was doubtless the most persuasive altar call at all times. Bow or burn." Fairly simple. And so here these 3 Hebrew children find themselves in the midst of a crowd of people who are complying with this nation's laws. They're ready to bow. They have no problem with this. If they had a problem, it wasn't a matter of separation. It wasn't a matter that concerned them. They'll just comply. They'll fish. They'll go downstream like everyone else. We'll just go with the flow. Nothing needs to be said. If we bow at this moment, we can go on with our lives. But no, these 3 Hebrew children, it was a matter much more important to them. You changed their name, you changed their culture, but they still had God in their hearts. They weren't going to deny their faith in this moment. But here we see not only the celebration to an ungodly king, you see the enemies of a committed believer. The enemies of a committed believer in Daniel chapter 3 in verse 8 to 12. You can read, there's this crowd just waiting, but there was a few in the background. They were jealous. They were jealous of what these men had achieved. They were elevated above them. No one likes the foreigners to be above them, and so they were going to do something about it. And so they sat and watched. Christians will receive unjust and persecuted attention. It's just the way it is. It's the way history has recorded it. If you are a Christian, you're a believer, you're standing against most of culture. And then you introduce Christ, and people get saved, and the culture slowly changes. But that comes at a cost. There had to be someone who stood. The enemies of a committed believer are many. Your testimony is always at stake. Your reputation can be marred at any moment. And not necessarily because you did wrong, just because people, they don't like what you stand for. And they're there to trip you up. There are many of those. The enemies of a committed believer, there are many. Certainly they come from the outside, but oftentimes they come from the inside. There are people that are dressed and poised to take over. They want power. They want prestige. They want notability. They don't like someone. There's a defense. We have many enemies. Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But here we see the tactics of a deceptive adversary. The tactics of a deceptive adversary is they didn't come straight out. They waited for a moment, and they just presented some information to the king that he might find useful. How dare someone not bow to me? They presented in such a way that they themselves were loyal. I wonder what they were doing. They were watching everyone. Why weren't they bowing? You know, it's like prayer. You know, when we pray at the table, I'll pray, and one of my kids will say, "Someone wasn't looking. They didn't close their eyes." I mean, okay. Okay. Then we talked about the theology of open eyes versus closed eyes in prayer. Satan doesn't like those who take a stand. He doesn't like those who live for God. He wants all religions and all people to position themselves away from God. He wants to be worshiped by preventing all men from giving God true worship. He wants allegiance. Satan always tries to overpower God's chosen remnant. He uses angry, powerful, mean-spirited people, even kings, to get us to turn. He uses all kinds of methods. He even puts laws on the books. So Christians are faced with laws that they have to either obey or disobey. It was not hard or difficult. It does not appear to be a challenge for these three Hebrew children. They were presented with a moment of idol worship, and they said, "No way. We don't bow to idols. We're not idol worshipers. We worship the true and living God." This is not a hard decision. While the thousands bowed, they stood, and they are now being persecuted for it. If you stand, you're going to be persecuted. Now we find they are courageous saints. They were condemned servants, but now they're here. They are now known as courageous saints. Now we see a glimpse into their courage in Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. In 20 and 20 to 23. Let's read verses 20 to 23. "And he commanded the most mighty men, his strongest men, his green beret that were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. They were courageous saints. These three teenagers were no doubt aware